Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 24. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, and welcome to training camp 2016. 3 days of training camp are in the books as the veterans now report, and the pads go on for Saturday morning at the NovaCare Complex. Good stuff here for the Eagles Live Podcast. We're going to give you the skinny on the cornerback position, one that bears a lot of scrutiny, with an exclusive one-on-one conversation with Coach Corey Unland. We'll get the very latest on the national perspective from ESPN's Sal Palantonio, and we'll check in with three draft picks who could be significant contributors this season. Also, we're introducing a new feature to our Eagles Live podcast, 1 Minute with Merrill Reese, as the Eagles hunker down in training camp. First, though, head coach Doug Peterson looks ahead with enthusiasm for this football team. Here are three questions with head coach Doug Peterson. Doug, how have these first 3 days gone here without the pads, 38 players here? What have you seen?
Well, you've seen some eager, young-eyed rookies coming in here, and we got some veteran quarterbacks too, but these rookies come in. The biggest thing is the retention of the information. What they learned from OTAs carried over from 6 weeks to now. How much retention do they have? It's not a matter of killing them. We want them to get used to the schedule, the meeting times, the practice in the morning, the walkthrough in the afternoon, the meetings at night, curfew. That whole, it changes just a little bit now that we're in training camp mode, and just to get them back into the swing of things so that when the veterans get in here, they're not overwhelmed by the entire process.
Is it fair to say that every position is basically there to be competed for and playing time is there to be won?
Bottom line, competition, you know, iron sharpens iron. And we want the best competition, best player at each position. And, you know, that's something that we've done in the offseason through free agency and the draft and bringing in players to compete at every spot. And I'm really excited to. There's some great depth at a lot of positions. And, you know, as soon as we get the pads on and we start banging heads a little bit, we begin to see really, number one, who wants to be a part of the Eagles for 2016.
I know you answer the question about quarterbacks every day. Did the three quarterbacks, Sam and Carson and Chase, carry through from the spring into the summer what you hope they would bring?
Yes. To answer your question, yes, they did, and they all came in with a great frame of mind, and they understand their roles. They understand, you know, where they are in this football team, and, you know, at the same time, we want to give them all equal opportunity right now. You know, we're still early in training camp. We're not playing games for another couple weeks, and so from that standpoint, we want to make sure that they're all getting, not just the quarterbacks, but the second and third strings offensive and defensive lines and the secondary. We're looking at the whole picture here, not just quarterback position, but obviously those three have done a nice job during the break in the last couple of days.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
We're going to visit every part of this roster in the Eagles Live podcast throughout the season. And in this episode, we are going to the cornerback spots specifically. How good are the Eagles on the corner as they turn the page from the Byron Maxwell signing and ultimately the Byron Maxwell trade? That was the big experiment from last year, and it didn't work out for the Eagles. Now defensive backs coach Corey Unland talks about his group, his room, some new, some old, some names you just don't know.
Corey, what is the daily message to your guys? I know last year it was a new system, a new way of playing, a new philosophy. What is it this year?
I don't think it's changed that much. My philosophy, technique and effort. I mean, come out there, learn the technique, try to find a way to get better every single day and play as hard as you can. And if you can do that, then you got a chance. You got to learn the defense. Some of these guys are still learning it. Obviously, with Coach Schwartz coming in, there's some new lingo. We got a lot of work of that in the spring. So we're close, but even today we had a couple busts out there. So, but if there was one thing that I say every day, man, play with technique. This is what this game is all about, especially at our position. And then your effort is really all that we care about right now. If you screw it up, then just screw it up full speed and go as hard as you possibly can. And we got a chance.
It's really interesting. You got some guys who are very experienced and who are experienced in this scheme, and you've got a bunch of guys who are young and don't really know what they're doing. So what's that like?
I'm not sure it's any different than anything. I mean, obviously the guys that have been in the scheme, the guys that were in Buffalo, maybe have a little bit of advantage as far as just hearing the words and the terminology. But at the end of the day, everyone's still trying to learn the same thing. I'm teaching some of the techniques a little bit different than they've learned them in the past. So we're all on the same page or in the same situation as far as just trying to get better every single day at what we're doing.
Is everybody at ground zero when they come in here, Corey?
You're talking about as far as the depth chart? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we'll switch those guys every single day. We did it in OTAs. I think there's a group that's probably at the top, but we don't know that until obviously we start putting the pads on and we start playing some preseason games and see how it unfolds. But everyone's going to get a shot to perform. Everyone's going to get a shot to play in the games. And at the end of the day, we'll see how it unfolds at the end.
A couple guys specifically. What did Leotis show you in the spring in terms of just movement and understanding the scheme?
Short areas, quickness. The guy is honestly one of the smartest football IQ guys I've been around. The guy understands the game. He understands splits. He got me a couple times and I was trying to correct him on something. And he's like, "No, coach, look at where the guy's lined up. Look at where number two is. The guy's flipped and stuff like that." Super, super high IQ. Understands the game. Short area quickness. Guy plays with technique. He plays with effort. Very, very pleased with him. Glad we got him.
And how about Brooks, who I don't think a lot of people beyond those who study the game really knew much about?
I think he's going to help us a lot as well. Same thing. I think being with Coach Schwartz and the way that he attacks these guys and makes them learn the scheme, not only the scheme, but on how the game works and what offenses are doing, they're both. I think Brooks, he's pretty close. I mean, he understands the game. He's played a lot inside, which where he took a lot of reps for us in there. So he's going to be a major player for us in there. We'll see how that unfolds. Obviously, we don't know that yet, but I'm really pleased to have him. Both of those guys, I mean, they're making me better because they've been in the scheme before and they keep me on point. So I'm very pleased. Luckily, we got both of them.
Is it a big transition for Eric Rowe coming in and learning a new defense?
I don't know if it's a big transition. I mean, he's playing just corner right now, and at the end of the day, we're playing man coverage. We're playing cover four. We're playing a version of cover three, some cover two stuff. I mean, we're playing everything that we played last year. The terminology is a little bit different. And then I would say probably the biggest thing is some of the techniques that we're teaching are different than we taught them last year. For the guys that were here last year, there has been a couple wrinkles as far as, okay, listen, we're not doing it like that anymore. We're doing it now like this. So for me included, there's a little bit of a gap there, but we got a long way to go, and we'll keep working on it.
Does Nolan look like he's all the way back physically?
I don't think if you asked him, I think he would say he's really close. And I would say the same thing for Shep. It was great. Nolan actually took some snaps there at the end of the OTA, so he had a little bit of work. They both went through individual and OTAs, but the first two limited practices that we've had here with just a few snaps, I think they're both really close. And I strongly believe they'll both be ready by the time we hit.
What has Jalen shown you?
I like him. Guy's a very, very mature young man. He loves the game. He comes in every day with a great attitude, wants to learn, wants to get better. He was up in our office this morning trying to find a way to get better. He's got some violent upper body. He gets his feet in the ground. He can change direction. He's got a good nose for the ball. With all that being said, he's still got a lot of stuff to work on.
Do you remember the reaction you had, Corey? Draft day, seventh round, he comes up and you get him. People said he was a better player than a seventh round pick.
Yeah. I mean, every year in the draft, you always get surprises like that. Fortunate for us, he was still there. We feel like we got a great player. And now having been around him for the last, 5 months or 4 months, whatever it was, in the spring, and then now not, I'm really pleased with him. And I liked him on tape, went down and worked him out, loved being around him when I was down there on the campus at LSU, had a great workout, so it worked out for us. And I think it's going to end up working out for him, too.
I mean, there's guys like Aaron Grimes and then Denzel. I mean, there's people don't outside the building know these players, but, I mean, they seem to have something.
Yeah. Obviously, Aaron playing in the CFL, I mean, people obviously don't know who he is, but the guy's played in games, not in the NFL, but he's played at the professional level. He's shown a lot of good stuff. He's playing inside. He's playing outside. Heck, he played safety the last 2 days because we're down on numbers in this camp. He's definitely got a shot. I think everybody that we've got obviously has got a shot. You just got to see how this thing plays as we go through training camp.
You really don't put too much into it, though, until the pads go on. Or do you?
We do, but I think, you know how it works. You can go out here and you're not tackling anybody and it's not live stuff. The game will change when you start, with the pads on and you start playing games. Obviously, everybody's emotion gets up. It changes a little bit. The guys that have played a lot longer, a little bit less. But for the young guys, the guys that haven't played, it's a different deal. So I'm not discounting anything that we've done. Obviously, all that's in play, but the hard evaluation will come here as we keep going forward.
Thank you.
You got it.
Hi, I'm tight end Brent Celek.
And you're listening to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
One of the players Unlin talked about was rookie seventh round draft pick Jalen Mills, who reported to camp with bright green hair and a sense of purpose. He's come a long way in a short period of time since May's draft. Jalen, let's talk about the spring and kind of how quickly everything went by. Did the 5 or 6 weeks that have gone by give you a chance to offer perspective and think about what you accomplished?
Yeah, for one, it flew by. Just coming in first day, getting drafted, then going to rookie OTAs and stuff like that, I was just like, wow, I got a long time to the season. Now that I'm here, I'm like, man, the season, we played first preseason game in 2.5, 3 weeks, but for sure, just getting used to those practices and going against the vets, learning a different type of speed, up 10 times more than I was at LSU. I kind of try to base my training off that as well.
What did you do in the period of time, those 6, 7 weeks that went by?
Ran a lot, did a lot of cardio, did a lot of lifting. Try to do everything I could to keep my body as healthy as possible.
So what do you see as your opportunity here?
Just go out there and show these coaches I can play football, regardless if it's on special teams or it's on with the defense, just going out here trying to show them that I can play football.
Do you think that you don't aspire to more? I mean, I know you aspire to more. Everybody wants to start, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. That's every guy's, since you're little, 10 years old, you want to be a starter in the NFL, so for sure that's a goal that I want.
How much are you looking forward to seeing the pads? How you perform when the pads go on?
I like them. LSU did a lot of hitting, a lot of tackling, so for sure I'm looking forward to it. Just trying to get back to that, seeing as though I missed the first half of my season at LSU.
Jalen, is there any question that you can match up physically in the NFL from what you've seen so far?
as far as...
I mean, you know, listen, your movement, your size, your strength, it's all there.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, of course, I'm a rookie, so I have a lot of work to do, but for sure, just trying to be in my playbook every day and just trying to get in the best shape as possible.
Do you have it down mentally?
Coach always says, don't say I got it, but I'm working towards it. You know, every day just talking to coach and trying to learn more and more each day.
And you had a chance to take a breath and just reflect on everything that has gone on since, you know, January. How would you put this half year in perspective?
I mean, I'm blessed, you know. I'm happy to be in this position. You know, a lot of guys aren't in my position, you know, so I'm just trying to take it all in.
Thanks, Jalen.
Thank you.
A couple of other rookies impressed in the early days of camp, running back Wendell Smallwood and offensive lineman Isaac Seumalo. We go off the field with both, first to third round pick Seumalo, who missed most of the spring practices as his Oregon State class graduated.
So how beneficial were these 3 days?
I mean, I think you ask anybody that, you know, it's super beneficial. He has as many reps as you can. That's the only way you get better, through practice.
You feel that you're kind of where you want to be? I mean, you really don't have a choice, but you feel like you're caught up with the veterans coming in a couple days?
No, I'm obviously behind. They've been here for years. And in my head, you know, I'll never be where I want to be. I guess in getting deep there, but I guess relatively, like I'm cool where I'm at. I know, you know, there's things I got to work on for sure. And I'm excited to work on them.
So you got to look some reps at center and left guard. Is the idea to kind of teach you as much about the offensive line and where everybody is as Stout can do and you can handle?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does that with all the rookies. You know, whoever comes out the other end, you know, he's going to keep. But I'm just trying to be a sponge and listen as much as I can.
Pads go on in a few days. How much are you looking forward to that?
Always looking forward to it. You know, I mean, that's football. You know, that's why I'm here. Love the game. Wouldn't be here if I... No, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thank you.
Now it's Smallwood, the fifth-round draft pick from West Virginia, who has gained some notice with his all-around skills.
It's pretty crazy how quickly things go in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, everything moves fast. Day goes by faster. You're here for a long time, but it doesn't really seem so long. As fast as everything's moving and people teaching and learning, it's a fast-paced game.
The weeks you had off, did you use that to kind of reflect on what had happened to you in the previous few months?
Yeah, I think definitely what I did the offseason and trying to get it to another level and paying attention to what I needed to learn and little details and stuff I could bring into camp coming off the offseason, I think is today I did pretty well using some of the stuff that I did in the offseason.
The Wendell Smallwood who played football last year versus the one who came off the practice field today, huge difference in the kind of player you are now?
Complete difference.
In what ways?
Just how I study. Just overall the little details I pay attention to now, like Doug and Deuce and the little things they say I was messing. I was getting the big things right, but I was missing little, and little could turn into big easy in this league. So I think me dialed in, being focused on little things as well as the big things is going to help me be a better player.
What kind of challenges do you expect now when the pads go on? You're going to have to block. They're going to have the blitz drills. They're going to have you in the pass game. You're going to get tackled in practice. Are you looking forward to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely looking forward. I haven't been tackled since the bowl game January 3rd, so looking forward to that. I know it's going to be tough physical, and that's going to sort of bring the competitor out of me, and I'm going to have a big drive.
Wendell, what kind of feedback has Deuce given you?
Just keep working. He told me it's going to get tough. I just got to keep riding it, keep getting better every day, and put these good days together every day, come back and have a better day, and just not get down when stuff gets bad and stuff like that.
From a physical standpoint, you think you're up to the speed of everything, and you feel good about the tempo on the field?
Yeah, I think I'm up to speed, but I definitely think it's going to take a little more out of me. Stay up speed on it.
When you came home during the break, did a lot of, I mean, I'm sure in Delaware you got a lot of, hey, Wendell, great, you're, you know, Eagles, what are you gonna, what kind of feedback did you get from Eagles fans who had time to visit with you during those weeks?
They just ready for the playoffs and they won the Super Bowl. I've been an Eagle fan since I was young, so I know exactly how it goes, but everyone I talk to tell me they need me to step it up, they need the team to step it up, and they're wishing us the best, and they're going to be here tough and rough times, so everyone's being positive, but we got to work for it.
How much playbook time did you spend in these 5-6 weeks?
A bunch of playbook time, probably once a day, at least an hour, and just going over stuff. And I think me being here in the offseason and doing all the installs, and I learned the whole playbook, so it was just repetitive with me and getting it down to a science and not doubting myself about anything I knew.
So on the field, it was pretty natural today?
Yeah, pretty natural today. I didn't have to second guess about anything I had.
Is there anything in particular that you're not pleased with, you know, that you say, boy, I need to get that, I need to perfect that, I need to make sure that that's right on point every time?
Yeah, just coming in and out of my breaks, I think it needs to be fast every time. Sometimes I get a little exhausted and not thinking about it, but I think I need to be explosive and be more upbeat.
What kind of goals do you have for the season?
Just to make the team.
Yeah. Nothing beyond that, huh?
That's my biggest goal.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're not getting ahead of yourself at all?
No, I'm not getting ahead of myself at all.
Thanks, Wendell.
All right, thank you.
A new feature on the Eagles Live podcast comes your way now. Merrill Reese enters his 40th year as the voice of the Eagles, and we'll hear from him each week in the Merrill Minute.
The Eagles are in the Super Bowl! It's Groundhog Day. They did it again.
They got it in the end zone. I don't believe it.
This game should be in a museum.
The biggest story, you have to say, in the non-quarterback department, because that seems to be the focus, but it always is when a new quarterback comes to town, particularly a first-round draft choice. But I think the biggest story is to watch this team come together. They have a new offense, they have a new defense, and you want to see how the players fit. I think the one area that is such a key for this team, because we talk about quarterbacks, we talk about receivers, but a key for this football team is the development of the offensive line. It absolutely must be better. I think Jason Peters is going to be better because he's not playing in an offense that requires him to race back to the line of scrimmage. And for a player in his 30s, that's a big plus. You have Siamalo, you have Brandon Brooks. I think those are big additions. So I think the one thing to look at above all else is the play of the offensive line.
Finally, we get a national perspective on the Eagles in our press coverage.
Sal Palantonio, ESPN. What is the theme of this summer for the Philadelphia Eagles?
One of the most complex, complicated, and compelling quarterback situations in the National Football League. I think a lot of people around the league are interested to see how this will play out. Already talked to Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz about it. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, he wants to set up some competition for these quarterbacks, but he's committed to Sam Bradford as the starter week one, and it's going to take a lot to happen in training camp, David, and in the preseason for him to change his mind.
But you are not ruling it out.
I'm not ruling it out at some point during the season, but I would think it would be shocking to me if he wasn't the starter week one against the Cleveland Browns at Lincoln Financial Field.
Long leash at that time for Sam?
I think there will be a long leash. I really do. I think Peterson is pretty committed to this plan. I don't know about the rest of the coaching staff. We've heard a little bit of rumblings in the spring that maybe everybody wants a little bit more competition in the plan. I think they're very impressed, mostly with Carson Wentz's maturity. And obviously, there's a loyalty factor there, David, between Doug Peterson and Chase Daniel. But Chase Daniel understands he's a coach in waiting. That his contribution to this football team is over the long term. And it's basically to guide Sam Bradford and guide Carson Wentz and to be a bridge between the two of them.
It's interesting, Sal. You know, after 3 years of nonstop top of the headlines, top of the, you know, fold stories for the Eagles, other than quarterback, not a lot of external buzz about this football team. Is that the read you kind of get as well?
Well, I think there's not a lot of buzz in Philadelphia because I think there's Sam Bradford fatigue, to be quite frank with you about that. And I think people are just waiting for the moment when the kid will play. And it's, in my view, you look at Sam Bradford, he's got an expiration date. You know, it's invisible, but it's printed right on his chest. He's not going to be the quarterback in 2017. So he's a walking contradiction. He's got his fifth offense in as many years. He's got to exert his leadership, show he can play, knowing that it ends at some point in 2016. It's going to be tough for him. I think it's going to be the toughest on Bradford. Wentz, he can sit and wait. He has to be patient. Daniel, he understands his role. I think for Bradford, it's hard.
Your sense of how Sam has handled it very early here in these first 3 days of camp?
Well, I think he's handled it pretty well, coming back from his two-week AWOL stint where he tried to get traded and it didn't work out. I think bringing all the players out to San Diego, presiding over that was an important first step. And what I'm seeing so far in camp is real clear. You know, he got married. There's a sense of maturity and calmness about it. But we have to see how he plays. We have to see how he reacts to the cauldron, the special cauldron of Philadelphia football. I always remind people of this. They played 50 Super Bowls. 12 of them have gone to the NFC East, none to Philadelphia. The NFC East owns more Super Bowl titles than any other division in the NFL. These people are tired of waiting here in Philadelphia.
You had to bring that up, Sam?
No, well, I mean, it's not because it's been a failure. I think it is what it is, and here's where we are. You know, the Eagles have competed at a high level for a long period of time. They just haven't gotten to it, that championship, and I think people here are impatient, rightfully so, and I'm interested to see how that factor influences decisions here. The person I'm most impressed with, Doug Peterson, and how he's handled everything. For him to bring Bradford back, massage things and the way they went wrong, the way he communicates to the players, the way he communicates to the media, I think he gets an absolute A+.
So we've gone on for 4 minutes here talking about the theme, which is the quarterbacks. How about beyond the quarterbacks as the Eagles look to compete in the NFC East?
Well, there's two things that make you succeed now in the current NFL, quarterback play and getting to the quarterback. And so I'm interested to see how Jim Schwartz will get to the quarterback without blitzing. which is his calling card, and how much he'll have to change that philosophy in order to get to the quarterback. Two out of the last three Super Bowl MVPs were on defense. Why? Because they got to the quarterback. Seattle got to Peyton Manning, and last year Denver got to Cam Newton. So if you can get to the quarterback and you can disrupt the passing game, you can go a long way to building the kind of team that can be successful week in and week out. And you got to get to some special quarterbacks this year. You got Roethlisberger coming in. You got Rodgers coming in. You got to go out to the West Coast and play Russell Wilson. You know, this is not going to be an easy season. And I think Schwartz getting to the quarterback without blitzing, that to me is theme number two. Or I'm going to go 1A with you, David. Theme 1A.
And how about on the underside, the offensive line? Protecting the quarterback.
Yeah.
Look, we know that the wide receivers have a lot of questions. The running game has a lot of questions. They invested in the offensive line. Is that enough to improve the offense?
The offense is an important issue that will develop. Remember, it's the fifth offense in as many years for Sam Bradford. He can go to line of scrimmage and change the play. Jason Kelce and he are going to have to get on the same page in calling protections. All of that has to take place. You know, with this receiving corps, it may be difficult for them to really be as productive as they want to in the passing game. And I think this will be a Doug Peterson / Andy Reid run-based offense where you reduce the number of turnovers from the quarterback position. You play it a little bit more ball control. You keep your defense on the bench, give them a blow or two late in the game where you're moving the chains and you can have more success in a way that may not be flashy, but gets you to a couple of wins that you didn't have last year.
Will we see you a lot this summer in Philadelphia?
David, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it at all. I mean, this is where I want to be. Like I said, I started out saying most compelling, most complicated, potentially the most complex of all the quarterback situations in the NFL. I'm interested to see how it'll play out. We kicked off SportsCenter training camp coverage in South Philadelphia on Monday, right? That tells you what ESPN thinks about the story of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, last one. For it to work, for South Palantonio to say, hey, this quarterback conundrum worked, what has to happen as we look in the next year?
Wow, there's a lot of different permutations to this, David. I think the most important thing is that Sam Bradford needs to perform up to Doug Peterson's initial plan. You don't want the whole thing to go belly up. Bradford, God forbid, gets hurt, or Bradford performs so poorly that Peterson goes to Chase Daniel by the third week in the preseason. That's what we don't want to see. We want to see a natural progression. But I think in the end, before the season's over, Carson Wentz needs to start a few games, just like Donovan McNabb did in 1999. McNabb started by week 9, if I remember correctly, in 99. I'd be shocked if that happens with Wentz, but it's all according to how Bradford performs.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast. Episode 24. Thanks to Brian Thomas for making it such a great production. Thanks to all of you for being part of the show each week. Enjoy training camp and have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
E-A-G-L-E-S!